Okay.
Amen.
Perfect. All right. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me read it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Every Christian is probably familiar with that particular verse of Scripture. All of us, I'm sure, have read this verse many times. I've studied this verse, trying to figure out exactly what it says. And sometimes the meaning, I think that the meaning sometimes remains elusive from us. But there's a lot of meat packed in that little verse. And I think we just need to contemplate it from time to time to see how it works in our lives. Now, there's more to learn, always. There's more to learn. However, there's one thing for certain, no matter how much I learn of it, how much you learn of it, I understand that there's always a greater depth, a greater depth of teaching, a greater depth of manifestation that we don't understand. I think there's much to be revealed about our faith. About our faith. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is filled with examples of this thing called faith. And as I consider these examples, I can only conclude that faith, and listen to me good, is the central reason for either success or failure in the life of every believer. We either succeed because of faith, or we fail because of the lack of faith. But it is not really the faith that makes the difference. What really matters is where or upon whom your faith is placed. So how is faith manifested in your life? How do you know that faith resides in you? Have you ever met anyone who is a faith claimer? Do you know somebody who uses faith as a bragging right? They seem to think that they possess an exceptional power that moves God like no one else can. You could turn on TV and see them all the time. This attitude makes people feel superior and act aloof. And many Christians today claim to have more faith and are spiritually stronger than anyone around them. They act like they have some magical power over faith. But Paul declares that this idea is false. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Even in the early church, this claim of having greater faith became a point of contention between believers. Obviously, some began to think that they were more spiritual than the others, and they believed that they were blessed with a greater measure of faith. My measure is bigger than yours. But what exactly is faith? Biblical faith is best described as a complete trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. A complete trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the level of your faith is based on how much you really trust Jesus. And we all have a certain amount of trust. I believe it's a God-given measure for every one of us to trust. Amen? But how much we trust depends upon our perception of who Jesus is and what we believe Jesus will do in us on a personal level and what he wants us to do through us because of that personal relationship. Now, some Christians, maybe most Christians, have these thoughts. I see Jesus moving in someone else's life and doing great things. But will Jesus move in my life the same way? I've heard people say, I must be lacking in faith or lacking in trust because Jesus certainly isn't doing anything in my life. Jesus uses others, but not me. They have an anointing on them. But where's my anointing? What am I lacking? Why is my faith not as strong? If you've ever had those thoughts or asked those questions, then it's not your lack of faith, but a misunderstanding of how faith works and how trust in the Lord and in His Word are to be applied. I believe if I asked every one of you right now, do you really trust Jesus and do you really believe that he will fulfill his word and his promises, that there wouldn't be a single person here who would not say, yes, I do believe. Yes, I do trust him. If you can answer in that way, then why do you question whether you have enough faith to move mountains? Why then do you doubt that you have what it takes to see miracles or signs and wonders in the name of Jesus? Or why do you believe you lack the faith to be like the early apostles and disciples who experienced those miracles of Jesus? Why is it that Peter, simple fisherman, can speak to a lame man and see him jump up on his once crippled legs and feet and then watch him running and leaping and praising God into the temple, and yet here I am with a faith that can't even heal the headache of a flea? Why can a man like Paul face tremendous opposition and persecution, suffering so much for the gospel, yet remain steadfast, faithful, and so full of zeal for the Lord, when here I am seeing so many people throwing up their hands and quitting at even the slightest opposition from the devil? So what's this thing called faith? How can it be increased? How will it work? Is there a limit to how much of it we can have? How much must it grow within me so that I may begin to see a greater manifestation of the power of God in the performing of miracles such as healing and deliverance? We are like that one disciple who forever has been branded as Doubting Thomas because our faith always seems lacking. What we really desire most in our walk with the Lord is an unerring, unfailing, overcoming, never doubting faith so that we will become powerful men and women of God. But we find ourselves more in the position of the father of the demon-possessed boy who came to Jesus seeking deliverance for his son. And then in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. In verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Like that father, we want to believe. We say we believe, and we know our only hope is in Jesus. So why wouldn't we go to Jesus in the first place? Listen, folks, just the act of seeking the Lord's help proves that we have a measure of faith in our lives. Right? Amen. So our cry is, I believe. But then there's just that little bit of doubt and unbelief that threatens to short-circuit our answer and our miracle. So we cry out, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Lord, I don't know how to have more faith. How do I stop those thoughts of unbelief? How do I dispel the doubt? Every one of us at some time in our Christian walk has cried out, Jesus, I know you are a miracle-working God. I have no doubt whatsoever that you possess all power. I know that whatever I need, you can provide. I know that you will always hear my prayer. So why does your manifested power escape me? Now, let me ask you. Why don't you think that God's power is manifested through you? Is it because God doesn't move at all? Or is it because God didn't move in the manner and timing that you expected? As we study the Word of God, we become confident that He hears every prayer we pray. We believe that God always honors His Word. We know that God's promises never fail. He is always faithful and just to forgive, to cleanse, and to save us from this body of death. He is faithful. He is a faithful God who never, never changes. Now, if Jesus is all of that, what makes us doubt that He would fulfill what we ask of Him? What makes us doubt? You see, this is where faith is exercised. Your faith is exercised as you trust the Lord to perform His word regardless of whether you see it manifested or not. Truth is, we just don't understand all of the ways God moves. We don't know His thoughts and purposes. When we operate in the natural world, we are simply functioning through our five senses. Of course, we don't know what God is doing. We can't understand how He is bringing His word to fruition. Simply put, because our natural senses do not see the Lord moving, then we begin to doubt that He is. Please, from this point on, disregard what your senses are saying about your statements of faith. Now, do you realize what great faith is all about? Great faith involves getting beyond yourself into the realm of the Spirit where Jesus dwells. Let me say that again. Great faith involves getting beyond yourself into the realm of the Spirit where Jesus dwells. It's about learning to fully trust in the supernatural power and the moving of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the Word of God. Say that again, too. It's about learning to fully trust in the supernatural power and the moving of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the Word of God. God's Word is being fulfilled, first in the spirit realm, before it's made manifest in the natural realm. Faith is nothing more than an absolute trust that whatever is being done in the spirit realm to answer my prayer will be manifested in the natural realm as the Holy Spirit moves to perform the word and fulfill it according to God's plan.
Amen.
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 Now, let me add here that all the faith in the world cannot force God to do what is not in His will to do. It is in this place that we learn to completely trust and to exercise faith in a greater measure than ever before. Think about this for a moment. It takes more faith to trust God to do what's right and what's best when we don't see the immediate manifestation of His power than it does to believe and trust where there is an immediate answer in the form of a miracle.
Yep, that's true.
Takes more faith to trust Him than just to see the result. Please understand, folks, you don't lack faith just because your miracle is not manifested immediately. It is simply a sign of His sovereign power, operating in ways that you cannot see or know. Great faith is when you determine to walk on believing that the answer is on its way.
That's right. Amen.
Amen? When you continue to praise and thank God, knowing that He will accomplish what you ask in His own time and in His own way. That's great faith. Obviously, we can't force the hand of God to move. God's sovereign. He moves as He will. And our position is just to trust Him. Is God healing you? If He were not, you would not live another minute.
More true than we like.
Is Jesus helping you grow in faith and trust? If you're still calling on His name, trust in Him, even through your answer, even though your answer seems far away, then your faith is growing. Is God providing for you?
Amen.
If He didn't, you probably wouldn't be here today. Is God blessing you? If not, then you wouldn't have a family, friends, job, home, testimony. Even a future in heaven. Jesus will do His very best for you. He has a proven track record. You can trust Him. What He does and how He does it is for your ultimate good, not for your immediate good. I'm convinced that we don't often see the immediate manifestation of miracles and signs and wonders, because if we did, then we wouldn't need to exercise our faith at all.
Yeah.
Mm. Exercising our faith produces great faith, and great faith continues to believe that the answer is on its way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there is one key to increase your faith and experience the power of God manifested through your prayers. That key is found in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. It starts off by telling us where the focus of our faith begins. Everything that follows becomes icing on the cake. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says this: "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the number one reason that all of us are given a measure of faith, so that we may believe in the reality and existence of God and in the salvation offered through the blood of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you never, ever, ever see another manifestation of power in your life, if you never experience the miracles, the signs and wonders coming forth, no matter what does or doesn't happen in your walk with the Lord, you've already received the greatest manifestation of a miracle, sign, and wonder that heaven has to offer. You were born again by the Spirit, made a new creation in Jesus Christ. That is a miracle, folks. That is a miracle. No man can say he lacks faith and still be born again. No man. Without faith, it's impossible for you to be saved. So if you are saved, you automatically have faith. It's as simple as that. Simple as that. And from the point of salvation, faith grows in proportion to what Paul says next. Verse 14, Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Y'all quit looking at my feet. Those two verses contain God's complete plan for bringing faith alive in the hearts of man. First, we're given a measure of faith. We believe on Jesus Christ. We hear his word, and faith continues to grow. This pattern is the same all throughout the Bible and in the life of every believer. But even though God has given all men a measure of faith, for most, their faith is dead. Faith can only come alive when it's placed in the one who comes to offer life. At some point, you came to believe that there was a God in heaven. Then when you heard the salvation message preached, you received it. Finally, you read the word of God for yourself, and that word brought a rhema to your spirit. God's word came alive in you so that you instinctively believed the truth as it was revealed to you. Perhaps it was a pastor or an evangelist that spoke the living word to you. Perhaps it was a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit that led you to read and hear the preaching of your own heart through the written message of the gospel. But somehow you crossed paths with some beautiful feet that belonged to someone who cared enough to tell you the truth about Jesus. Thank God that you not only heard the gospel, but that you received it and believed it. How blessed are we to know the Lord Jesus. And how sad to know that so many around us continue to refuse. Romans chapter 10 verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Faith is exercised by your free will. You choose to believe or you choose to reject. The willful decision to reject the truth causes faith to stagnate. Faith remains dead and useless in that form. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you ready to move into greater faith? Do you want a living, vibrant, powerful, and unending faith? Well, here's your key to having it. Continually listening, hearing, speaking, reading, consuming, and then most important, choosing to believe the Word of God.
Amen.
Believe the Word of God. The Word of God in you brings life to your faith. The Word of God in you brings life to your faith.
Amen.
The more Word you receive, the greater your faith will grow. The moment you sense that your faith is failing is the moment you must commit yourself to reading, receiving, and believing more of the Word of God. There is only one reason for a Christian to possess weak faith. Weak faith. They refuse to commit themselves to reading, studying, consuming, and growing in the Word of God. Faith grows stronger when the truth is received and the revelation of God's Word is embraced. The more we read, the more we understand. The more Jesus is revealed, the more the power of God is unleashed, the more the love and nature of God is received, the more faith grows. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. My friends, if you lack faith, you need more of the Word. Turn off the TV. Cast aside the cell phone. Quit all the shopping and all the golfing. Put the work down. Postpone those other demands. Focus on the Word. It will change you and it will change your world. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Consider this. How much time do you spend on something that you consider fun or worthwhile? How much time on projects and personal accomplishments? Saints, the Word of God is so essential for your faith, for your spiritual growth, for your witness to others, for pleasing the Heavenly Father. Then why aren't you spending quality time in God's Word, listening, learning, and receiving? Conviction. Not condemnation. Conviction. The Word develops a stronger faith. The Word increases your trust in Jesus. The Word builds your character. The Word assures you that Jesus cannot and will not fail. The more the Word you get, the more of the Word you get, the more you realize how much God has done and is doing in your life. He will even give you spiritual eyes to see Him moving to answer your prayer before it is even prayed. Wow. Don't worry about the miracles. They will come as the Word grows in you. As you walk in the Word, miracles and signs and wonders will be a daily occurrence. They will no longer be hidden from your sight. Just keep walking by faith, growing in the Word, submitting to the Holy Spirit, and becoming like Christ. Becoming Christ-like will be the proof of your great faith. Let God be God in you, folks. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Now, we didn't read all of Hebrews chapter 11, but probably most of you have. And I'm wondering if you remember or can recall the names written down in the book. Those names were placed there because they were considered to be men and women of great faith. Great faith. These ordinary folks became extraordinary. Why? because they just let God be God in their lives, living each day for Him and allowing His Word to direct their paths and influence their responses. So let's talk about it right after I get a drink of water. The elders of the early church obtained a good report. God's approval is given to those who walk in faith and trust His plan. Many of those heroes never performed a miracle. Did you hear me? Many of those heroes never performed a miracle. They simply believed the word and accepted what it said. They learned to trust in a God that they could not see, and yet through faith saw what He could do. Abel's sacrifice was accepted, as was his witness of being a righteous man. He died as the first man of faith, and his life has been a witness of faith since the dawn of creation. Enoch just walked with trust in the Lord. He heard the truth and was taken alive into heaven. He never performed any great miracle that is recorded, except he believed that God was his rewarder. Noah's faith was proved with an axe and a hammer. His miracle was one of hard work and obedience, but just look at what his life accomplished. Abraham heard the word of the Lord and obeyed it. He just walked in the word and was made righteous because he trusted God. That was his claim to fame. Abraham revealed his exceptional trust in God when God asked him to sacrifice his only son. Abraham did the greatest thing of all. He just believed and obeyed. Sarah is named among the others because she believed God and was faithful when He said that she would have a son in her old age. Her miracle is bringing forth a son named Isaac, who became the father of the nation of Israel. Many have lived and died in faith, folks. They've received the promises of God not in this life, but in their heavenly home. They never witnessed huge revivals, never experienced stupendous miracles in this world. What a miracle was revealed when they first stepped, the first day they reached heaven. The greatest manifestation of faith in every one of those listed in God's Hall of Fame for the faithful, Hebrews chapter 11, was that they received the word, they believed the word, they obeyed the word, they lived by the word, they died by the word, and then received their reward in God's own timing. None of them thought that what they were doing was so miraculous. They simply lived every day trusting God to fulfill His promises. Some witnessed miracles, some didn't. Faith and trust were their mantra. So don't go around beating yourself up, thinking that your faith isn't strong enough. Don't go around thinking that you aren't good enough to be used by Jesus. Just trust and believe Jesus to be your rewarder. That's all it would take for you and me to be added to God's faithful Hall of Fame. Just trust. Just believe. Now, I want you to repeat after me. Faith says, I believe Jesus.
I believe Jesus.
And I placed my trust in him.
I believe that he is real.
And that he will do what he says in his word.
I will walk in trust.
I will let him guide my path.
In the end,
I will see his glory in its fullness.
And forever abide with him.
And that's all that matters.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Listen, folks, I see great men and women of faith all around this room. All around this room. Perhaps you won't raise the dead. Maybe you won't open blinded eyes. You may never heal the crippled. But then through God's divine purpose, he may use you to do any of these things. Don't allow the flesh to dictate whether or not you have great faith. Don't allow the flesh to dictate whether or not you have great faith. Brothers and sisters, just trust God. Just trust God. He's molding and shaping you, all of us, to have great faith. Amen?
Amen.
Is your faith bigger today than it was yesterday?
Amen.
You just heard some word. You had to increase your faith, right? God wants to minister to us, folks. He will use you to minister in ways you may not even recognize what you're doing. How many times do we have conversations with people? How many times have you walked away from a conversation? That was some truth that man just told me. Or that lady. God will use you. Just trust him. If there's a promise in this word, you have to believe the word. And you have to trust Jesus. It's easy to believe the word when it's in here. Faith. Faith. It's what we need. It's what we need. In fact, Hebrews also says it's impossible to please God without faith. Wow. So, folks, let's use our faith.
Amen.
Amen? What are you looking at? What's in front of you? What do you have to believe about? Maybe your job, maybe some money, maybe, I don't know. What's in front of you? Maybe it's another step tomorrow, another step in 10 minutes or half a second, you know? Yeah.
It's everything.
Yeah. I just don't even know, and I say this with sincerity. You know, I used to say it over there on Highway 3. I don't know how people get across that street without having faith. It would scare me to death now if I didn't have faith. I used to cross it and didn't think nothing of it, but I took my life in my hands when I did. But with faith, I don't. Then it's God's business, isn't it? It's not my business. It's God's business. If I make it across the street, praise God. If I don't make it, praise God. Either way, praise God. Because I'm walking in him. Using my faith. So folks, use your faith. and let it become great. Let it become great. I see. Great men and women of faith. And whatever is looming in front of you, you need to use your faith on it. You know what I even think is good? It's when you combine faith together. You know, it's one of the reasons for marriage. Where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. Use your faith. That's the message God told me to tell you. Use your faith. Let's stand together.